Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord's blessing. Our loving God and our Father, those of us that know the Lord Jesus as Savior can now address God as our Father. And we do pray tonight for the blessing of thy precious word, our God, that as we open this blessed book and seek to speak to the hearts and consciences of any in this room who are yet lost in their sins, without God, without hope in this world, we pray that thou wouldst have thy way tonight, and that the knee would bow, the heart would confess, the tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So we just pray and ask thee to bless thy precious word. For those of us that know thee, Lord Jesus, as Savior, help us to be in a spirit of prayer. The enemy desires to destroy and to deceive tonight. And we just pray that thou wouldst, in thy mercy and kindness, arrest any that are lost, that they might be saved tonight. We ask it, our God, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We'd like to look tonight at a series of scriptures. Perhaps we'll just read them very briefly, and then go back and comment. Beginning in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, just a little series of sayings that the Lord Jesus said. I know that the apostle said some too here. Perhaps the last three of them will speak of the apostle Paul. But Matthew chapter 9, just at the end of verse 2, just this little expression that the Spirit of God records, this little saying: Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And then turn over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, and verse 27. Matthew 14, and verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And then in John's Gospel, chapter 16. And the last verse, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And then in the book of Acts, chapter 23, Acts chapter 23 and verse 11. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. And then in chapter 27 and verse 22. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And then in verse 36, then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. Well, I'd just like to turn back to chapter 9 of Matthew, but before we do, I'd like to just read who it was in the scriptures that said this. Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Who was it that said this? This was no ordinary man that said this to that paralytic man. Let's turn to Genesis. We'll get the answer there who it was. Chapter 2 of Genesis, it says there in verse 7, The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And then in chapter 3 and verse 17, just at the end of the verse, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat
the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And then in verse 24, so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And then one more passage of scripture in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. Matthew 27 and verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour, and about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Well, you know, this man, Christ Jesus, came into the world to save sinners. And God, in his love, had, by the instrument of his Son, his well-beloved Son, formed man. You know, God the Son spoke the worlds into existence. He could speak and say, let there be light, and there was light. But when it came to man, when it came to you personally, says that you were formed of God. Formed by the hand of God himself. Molded by the hand of God. And then he took the Lord Jesus himself, I believe. This picture is given to us in this history of man in Genesis chapter 2. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You have a conscience and you know that the word of God is true. You have a conscience and you know that you're a sinner. You have a conscience and you know that the word of God is telling the truth, that man has fallen into sin. Well, it was this man, Christ Jesus, who formed man. And then he spoke to him. And this is the man, the Lord Jesus, who cursed the earth, cursed the ground of the earth in verse chapter 3 of Genesis and verse 17. And it was the Lord God in chapter 3 and verse 24 that drove Adam out of the garden that he'd prepared, specially prepared as a place of communion with his creature man. But because of sin, he had to expel him from that place. And it was that same one that loved Adam and that had formed Adam and that has the relationship, wants a relationship with every one of us in this room. It's the same man that came to where this paralytic was in chapter 9 of Matthew.
And he used these words, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. I'd just like to read from verse 2 in chapter 9. It says, behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thy house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Well, I say, dear friends, tonight, as we sit in this room together, as we spend this short hour together and open up God's precious word, the very first good cheer that I want to bring before your soul, we read 7 different good cheers as we read through those little portions of scripture. And this is a good cheer of sins forgiven. The very first good cheer that we find, I believe, written in the New Testament is a good cheer of sins forgiven. Something that God the Son himself came down into this scene and from the heart of love of God himself could speak to one of his creatures that was bound and felt the effects of what sin had brought into God's creation. He was paralyzed, couldn't go anywhere that he desired to go. He wouldn't be able to come into the presence of God himself, as it were. But there were those that were faithful, and they brought him into the presence of the Savior. And he heard those blessed words, "Son." Oh, there was relationship. There was, I believe another translation says, "Child. Child, be of good cheer. Be of good courage. Thy sins be forgiven thee." I want to ask you a question tonight. You're sitting in your chair tonight. Perhaps those of faith, perhaps a mother or father, perhaps someone else has brought you in faith to this gospel meeting to hear about the Lord Jesus, to hear that there is free forgiveness of sins at the cost, at the price that was paid at the cross of Calvary, that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, was shed on Calvary's cross to cleanse you from all sin, that those words might be spoken in truth and they could be spoken of you. Perhaps you've been brought here, as I say, of someone of faith, maybe a boy or a girl. Can I ask you tonight, would you just stop in your seat, put your pencil down, and answer the question tonight, are your sins forgiven? Have you ever heard those words from the blessed man Christ Jesus himself? Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Isn't that something of good cheer? You know, I went to a place of business that I used to work at in Ohio where they make truck caps. And went in that, had the occasion to go in and visit some of the people that I used to work with, and was in the hall and saw the CEO of that operation and his right-hand man, the chief financial officer. And as I looked into their faces, I came up to them in the hallway. I saw two men that were ashen-faced and white. They looked like they hadn't eaten a good meal for a long time. They looked stressed to the point of breaking. They have a business that is struggling, working 3 days a week instead of 5 days a week, working two shifts a day instead of three shifts a day. They have faced material cost increases that are astronomical, and they have nothing in that business to take good cheer of at all. And you know, dear friends, tonight, this world is not a place of good cheer. In all of God's creation, in all of God's universe, it's the place, the most depressed place in all of God's creation because of sin. But I'm here to tell you that there's good news tonight, because God loved you. God loved you and wanted your sins to be forgiven. And he sent the Lord Jesus into this world. He came into this scene that he might be able to relieve his creation because of the effects of sin. And he came so that he might be able to hear, that you might be able to hear, even tonight, these words, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." Thy sins, be sure of this, that your sin will find you out. There is a God, and there is going to be a day of reckoning for every one of us in this room. Everyone has to leave this scene. It's filled with sin, and God has decreed that this world is going to be destroyed. This world is going to be burned up, everything in it, and you're going to have to leave. And there are one of two destinations for your eternal soul. One is in the presence of that one, that man that came and that spoke these words. "My son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." You're going to spend an eternity in the presence of that glorious man if you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. If you come to him and confess that you're a sinner and receive him as Savior. Or if you go out of this room tonight and you know that you don't have your sins forgiven and you leave this world without Christ, you're going to be in a place that has no cheer, will never have any cheer for all eternity. It'll be a place of doom. a place of sorrow, a place of darkness, a place of judgment. Never, never any cheer, never any encouragement, but God Himself in the person of His Son came that you might have forgiveness of sins. I ask you again, as you sit in your seat here tonight, can you honestly say that you have had that transaction with God Himself, that you have come to the Lord Jesus and acknowledge that you're a sinner, that you have been brought in the presence of God and acknowledge your need, your paralytic condition, and that you have cried for help, cried for deliverance from your sin? Well, you know, it says in verse 6 that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Here was a man that could read the minds of others. The man, Christ Jesus, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, he could read the minds, and he can read your mind too. The minds of those that were in opposition to himself, he read the mind. And he said, the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And so we know that to have your sins forgiven, it needs to be done on earth. It cannot be done if you leave this scene in the body. You know, I'm reading some of these scriptures tonight because I went to visit a dear brother in Nashville as he was in his room 5 days before he went home to be with the Lord. And oftentimes, you know, we had talked on the phone. Perhaps I would be traveling and I would just call him. And oftentimes we talked about those things that might give fresh courage to someone that was facing death. Courage in this scene filled with bleakness and sorrow and tragedy. And Brother Jim and I went through and read some of these verses of Scripture on that Lord's Day of August the 10th. And I tell you tonight that there was good cheer in his heart. He was filled with courage as he read these verses of Scripture and as we spent some of this time together. And 5 days later, he went into eternity with a cheerful heart and with confidence that his sins were forgiven. You know, as a boy, he said that he went into his mother's room at about 6 years old, and his mother was getting dressed. And he had the conviction that his sins were not forgiven. He knew that his sins were not forgiven, and he knelt down in his mother's bedroom at the end of the bed, and he cried to the Lord and said he was a sinner. He wanted to have his sins forgiven. And you know, he said that he never, ever doubted after that occasion, never doubted the love of his God, never doubted his salvation, never, never doubted it. Well, tonight, if you're not sure that you're saved, the Lord Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 10, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Oh, won't you just rest upon those words? I give unto them eternal life. I give. You cannot earn it. And God wants you to hear those words. Son, my son, give me thine heart, it says in Proverbs chapter 23. But he wants you to hear this. Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Well, let's turn to Matthew chapter 14. We'll read the second good cheer. Now, this is a good cheer of really having the Lord's love and faithfulness and just having a sense of His care in all of our circumstances. And we'll just read from verse 22 to get the connection. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side, while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto Him, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answering said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. And He said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me.
And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?
Well, this little story, this little picture perhaps prophetically even of church history, we're not going to take it up that way here tonight. But you know, the Lord Jesus, in these circumstances of life that the disciples found themselves in a helpless situation, in the midst of an ocean that was, or a sea, it says, that was tempestuous. Why, it speaks to us of how tempestuous life is, how unpredictable life is, and how much tragedy and sorrow there is in life. Sin has brought tragedy into God's creation. And you can't deny that. And there isn't good cheer because of that tragedy. The economic climate in this country is disastrous. And the world is beginning to feel the consequences of the high style of life on credit. And it's going to feel the weight of what is going on in this scene. It's going to feel it more and more. And every time, dear friend, you fill up your gas tank, you're sending money over to God's, to the enemies of God's people in that land of Israel. To you're sending money over, you're filling the pockets of the Arabs. There's going to be a good reason why this world, the Western world, is going to make an agreement with the children of Israel to protect them for 7 years. There are going to be some Arab countries that are armed to the teeth that want to destroy that little nation. And God is setting up the stage. He's setting the stage in a tempestuous sea, in a world filled with turmoil tonight. But I rejoice. I'm not sorrowful. I don't have a heavy heart because I see all of this unfolding. I feel a sense of excitement in my soul as I see how God is working. And it says in Revelation chapter 17:17, He hath put it in their hearts to fulfill His will. He hath put it in their hearts to fulfill His will. All these things are just being formed, and all these events taking place in the world are just going forth and fulfilling the will of God. And God is preparing to take His people out of this world. Dear friends, tonight, if you're not saved, you don't have much time to get saved. You don't have much time to hear those words, My son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. It's almost over. The Lord's going to come for His own. He's going to give that shout. And it's going to be a shout of victory, a shout of resurrection. We're going to be taken out of this scene. Well, the Lord Jesus said here, in these circumstances, to these disciples, they were saved. They had faith. There was a pretender on board. There was a pretender on board. We don't think of him very often. But Judas was there too, and he saw the Lord Jesus walk on water. He saw Peter walk on water. And he was there, and he heard these words. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Oh, isn't that nice? Those of us that are believers, that know the Lord Jesus as Savior, and we see how some of our brethren are losing their jobs. We see how we suffer along with all of God's creation because of sin. Why, there's cheer. There's good cheer. Every one of us can have good cheer that know the Lord Jesus as Savior, and we can recognize the hand of the Lord Jesus in our circumstances. Isn't that nice? You recognize the Lord Jesus in your circumstances. God has ordered the circumstances of your life that you might be here tonight. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus as Savior, you're being given one more opportunity in this world to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus and those words of good cheer. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Oh, regardless of the circumstances that you find yourself in tonight, won't you cry to the Lord Jesus for salvation? It says here these little words in verse 30. Three little words. Lord, save me. Sometimes, you know, older people think that they have to pray and use big words and complicated things. No, the work of salvation is a simple work between a soul, a sinner, and a Savior. And I'm not going to tell you what to say. I'm not going to try to put words in your mouth. I'm not going to try to influence you as to exactly what to say, but you say what you need to say. As you sit on your seat, and you know you're a sinner, and you know that you've never heard those words, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." You sit there and you say your own words. Peter didn't have a lot of time. He said, "Lord, save me." He acknowledged that blessed one as Lord of his life. Someone has said, you know, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And he wants to be your Lord and Savior tonight. Won't you receive him as your Savior? Let's turn to the next one in John's Gospel, chapter 16. John's Gospel, chapter 16. And let's just read the end of verse 32. "I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And then a little bit later in verse 4, I have, chapter 17 in verse 4, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." And then in verse 14, just the end of verse 14, well, let's read all of verse 14. "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Verse 16, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Well, dear friends, tonight, there are two worlds. God speaks of in his word of the world in different ways, you know. But there's a world that is in opposition to himself. And there is a world that is in subjection to himself. And the believer desires to live in that heavenly scene. Does a believer, those that know the Lord Jesus as Savior, they see the Lord Jesus seated on high, on the right hand of the Majesty on high. They're a part of that heavenly world. They're a part of that world. That place where sin can never come. The place where Christ is the object, bright and fair, to fill and to satisfy the heart. Why we can have our hearts filled and satisfied in this scene? But there's a world, dear friends, that is in opposition to God. There's a political world that is in opposition to Him. There's an educational world that's in opposition to Himself. There's an entertainment world that's in opposition to Christ. Make no mistake of it. There's a world that opposes that blessed man, Christ Jesus. And so the Lord Jesus says here to His disciples, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." We are going to have tribulation in the world because it's a place that's filled with sin. But the Lord Jesus overcame the world. We either are going to be overcome by the world or we're going to overcome the world. We're going to be overcomers. This is the good cheer of an overcomer. You know, the Lord Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 3, He said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so He speaks of the world as being made up of every single individual in it. Everyone that is formed in the image of God is a part of that world that He loves. But you know, there's a world that I just mentioned that is opposition to Him. And God has sent His Son that that world might be defeated, that every knee might bow to that blessed man, Christ Jesus. Every knee is going to bow. Has your knee bowed to the Lord Jesus? You know, I've sometimes told a story. You'll forgive me if you've heard it, but I think it's a good illustration. When I was doing business at a place of business that I went to make a sales call, I came a little bit early, went to the office of a man called Jim Stingle, and
I was there 15 minutes early and went in the door, and the girl said, come down here, have a seat, and we'll just talk a little bit. Jim will be here in about 15 minutes. And so I came in and sat down, and right by her computer was this little sign, 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. It says, if you meet me and forget me, you have lost nothing. But if you meet Jesus Christ and forget him, you've lost everything. Isn't that nice? A couple of verses of scripture reference there. And I said, is that your sign, Jessica? She said, yes, that's my sign. She said, you know, I said, are you a Christian? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? She said, yes, I'm pleased to be numbered among those that have bowed the knee to our Lord Jesus Christ in this life. 16, 17-year-old girl at a summer job. She said, I'm pleased to be numbered among those that have bowed the knee to our Lord Jesus Christ in this life. She said, every knee's going to bow. Oh, she's right, every knee's going to bow. And so the Lord Jesus came into this world that the world might be overcome. The world that has rebelled against him, the world that continues in rebellion against him and is about to fall under the judgment of a righteous and holy God. God is going to send that blessed man. He's going to come. He's going to appear. And we're going to appear with him in glory. Those of us that know the Lord Jesus as Savior, we're going to have glorified bodies. We're going to be right beside that man that spoke these words. Good cheer. I have overcome the world. You don't need to be a part of this world. You don't need to be a part of this world that's going down into judgment. You don't need to be a part of this world that has rebelled against God and refuses to submit to his authority. No. You can bow the knee tonight in his presence. You don't need to get off your chair. Just sit on your chair and cry to the Lord, Lord, save me. Receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And begin with that good cheer of sins forgiven tonight. Oh, what a blessed thing it would be for you to begin life tonight, a new life, a life that loves the Lord Jesus and wants to go on with him. Well, let's turn to Acts chapter 23, and we'll read another one of those good cheers. Acts chapter 23 and verse 11. Well, let's read verse 10. Acts 23 and verse 10. When there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now therefore ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though we would inquire something more perfectly concerning him. And we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him. Well, I read the last part of this story, as it were, of Paul in connection with those that had bound themselves under a great curse. It's a picture, you know, of those that were religious, the religious flesh, the most religious people upon the face of the earth, didn't want the light of God's word, didn't want to hear those words, son, thy sins be forgiven thee, be of good cheer. They didn't want to hear those words. They wanted to work for their salvation. They wanted to work. They wanted the law. They wanted their religion, but they didn't want Christ. I want to ask you tonight, is there something that you want in life more than to have your sins forgiven? Is there something that you want more than God's man, Christ Jesus, in your life? I can't answer that question for you, but you can answer it. Is there something that you want more in life than Christ himself? It's not worth it. Everything in this world is going to fall under the judgment of a righteous God.
a holy God that has to judge every sin. Every sin shall receive its just recompense of reward. You can't have something in this world and keep it and enjoy it apart from Christ. Oh, it's a sad world. It's a world filled with sorrow. But here we have this man, the Apostle Paul, saved by the grace of God and begun into a course, a path of life to please the Lord and to shine a bright light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ right into the heart of enemy territory, right into the heart of the darkest part of the Gentile world that was filled with idolatry and rebellion against God in every sense of the word. And Paul was used to shine that bright light. And the religious Jews wanted to stamp it out. They wanted the light shone so bright when he spoke of Christ, the one that they had crucified, the one who offered them free forgiveness of sins, the one who loved them and gave himself for them, the one who came from heaven's purest heights of glory, came unto his own, and his own received them not. And their consciences wouldn't let them be at ease, and they wanted to shut that light out. They didn't want to hear anymore. But Paul, you know, here I just want to speak to those of us that are believers tonight. Paul perhaps missed the mind of the Lord and went to a place that he shouldn't have gone. God wanted to send him to the Gentiles. And it was hard for him to think of going to the Gentiles alone and to go right into the heart of that enemy territory, so to speak. But he went to the Jews, to Jerusalem. And the Lord allowed him to sit in a prison cell one night. And then the very next night, he spoke to him these words. And you or I may have made a mistake in life. We may have missed the mind of the Lord. We may have made a misstep in our lives. But you know, it's wonderful, the faithfulness of our God. And you may, as a young person, not have been living for the Lord Jesus. You may have been living in self-will and selfishness. You may have just been living for yourself. And you may, as you think back at this gospel meeting, think that perhaps you've missed the mind of the Lord. And you wonder about the faithfulness of God, whether you'd be received, whether you would be forgiven for a course of disobedience to his word. Well, this is a word of encouragement. The Lord Jesus didn't send an angel to speak to Paul. He came himself, the Lord Jesus, the man, Christ Jesus, who loved him and gave himself for him. He went to Paul himself. He said, Paul. Isn't that nice? Paul. Saul means a man of unrestrained desire. God had changed his one letter of his word, said Paul. It means restrained. And he said, Paul, be of good cheer. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. And so this is the good cheer of a testimony for Christ. I want to ask you tonight, you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You've received the Lord Jesus as Savior. Perhaps you're just a young person. Perhaps you're just a child. Tell someone about the Lord Jesus. Tell someone how to be saved. You know, when we were younger, our children were younger, one of my daughters was a little evangelist, you know, and she brought children to Sunday school. She told them at school, and she would bring them to Sunday school. She would talk to them on the schoolyard, and one little girl, she said to her, I can't remember her name now, but she said, as a 6 or 7 year old, she said, do you want to be saved? She said this to her friend, and her friend said, yes, I'd like to be saved. And so she led her friend by the hand to a little clump of trees out in the schoolyard, and they knelt down in the dirt there, and the little girl received the Lord Jesus as Savior. Have you ever had that joy? Paul was a happy man. He could be of good cheer. He was going to go to the Gentile. He was going to go to Rome. And he was going to bear a testimony before the Gentiles. And he was going to have a good cheer in his soul. He was going to rejoice. And you'll rejoice in your soul too if you tell others of the Lord Jesus. I can tell you this by experience. Those of us that know the Lord Jesus as Savior and speak of him in a simple way to those that we know,
Perhaps just give out a little gospel tract to one individual. Speak to the mechanic that's working on your car. Speak to one at the ticket counter and those sorts of things. There's a joy in your soul that God gives you because you're going to be in communion with Himself in connection with one soul that's lost. Well, Paul did go to Rome. And on the way, I just want to read in chapter 24. It says this. In chapter 24, let's read in verse 14. I confess unto thee that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things that are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust. You know, God used the Apostle Paul to speak about resurrection. The Lord Jesus spoke about resurrection too, John's Gospel chapter 11, and other places. Why Paul spoke of resurrection. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Death is a real thing. We went to a conference in North Carolina in the spring. And Brother Jim Thompson was there, but now he's dead. His body died. His spirit and his soul are with the Lord. And he's awaiting the resurrection. He's awaiting that resurrection. There's going to be a resurrection. His body is horizontal now. It's in the grave. Resurrection, you know, is understood a little better. I think when I read my French Bible, you know, it says resurrection. It means to be re-erected. Re-erected. He's down flat. He's down on the ground, as it were. He's down. Sin has brought man low into death. But there's a day when Jim's going to be raised up. He's going to be re-erected. He's going to be re-erected, and he's going to be in the dew of his youth, says in the 110th Psalm, that we'll be in the dew of our youth. And everyone in this scene that dies, everyone is going to be resurrected. No escape. It says in Revelation chapter 20 that I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Before that great white throne, everyone. There is not one that's going to escape. And so, dear friend, tonight, if you die in your sins without the Lord Jesus as Savior, if you've not applied that blood, if that blood of Jesus Christ has not been applied to your sins, you've not been washed, cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus, why, you die and you leave this scene, you'll be resurrected, but you'll stand in a body of sin before the great white throne, and you'll be judged because of the sins that you committed. Well, let's turn to chapter 27. Acts chapter 27 and verse 22. Here we find Paul on the way to Rome on a ship. And I'm not going to read the whole story, but we'll just read these few verses and make some comments. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Well, here's a good cheer of service for the Lord. Paul, you know, was going to Rome, and he was going to be able to serve God in that place. He was going to have a quiet time in prison. He was going to write in those first 2 years, I believe. He wrote the epistle to the Colossians, the epistle to Philemon, and the epistle to the Philippians, and the epistle to the Ephesians. And he had time in the quietness of that cell, in the quietness of his own hired house. He had good cheer in his soul as he wrote those words that we read in the book of Philippians. Oh, that was a good cheer book. Every one of us that read that little epistle are so cheered in our souls as we read it. But here was a man who was bound for Rome, and the ship was going to be shipwrecked. God told Paul that it would be shipwrecked. And he said in verse 24, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar."
And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. And so Paul was going to go, and he was going to experience what it was to have good cheer in his service for the Lord. Wasn't that nice? Every one of us has a little bit of work to do for the Lord. And he was going to suffer shipwreck. He was going to suffer at the hands of the Romans. He was going to suffer more. But he was going to suffer and be an example to others as to what it was to suffer and to be of good cheer. Well, it says in verse 25 here, the apostle says in this sixth good cheer, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." And so here we have good cheer of faith in God's word. And what gives us cheer in this scene, what gives the believer, those of us that know the Lord Jesus as Savior, have accepted Him as Savior, what gives us good cheer from day to day as we pick up this blessed book is that we believe what God has said. God has said in faithfulness that we're sinners, that we need to have our sins forgiven. And God, in faithfulness, has told us in the Gospels of His blessed Son who came, the one who He sent in love from those courts of glory in love to save your soul and to bring you into that glorious scene above. He's told you in His Word. And what will give the Christian good cheer in his soul is to believe God's Word. I believe God. I want to ask you tonight, you sit in your seat. Can you say that? I believe God. God has said, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." I believe God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe God. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. I believe God. Do you believe God? God has told the truth. And God has sent His Son. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." This world is filled with deceit. This world is filled with the lies of the enemy. And this world is going on to judgment because it will not repent. It does not believe God. And so we need to believe God. But what a blessed privilege, what a blessed result in your life and in mine if we do believe God. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God." And if you want to have a happy life in this scene, if you want to have a happy life as a Christian, if you want to begin a happy life in this world, you're going to need to begin by believing God, by putting your faith and trust into His Word. And He says that he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Won't you come to the Lord Jesus tonight? Won't you come? Won't you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior tonight? Well, turn over the page, chapter 27 and verse 36. It says, "Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat." Well, you know, I like to think of this as the good cheer of feeding upon Christ. And your soul is going to need nourishment. If you receive Christ as Savior tonight, you're going to need to have nourishment for your soul. That new life is going to need to be fed. You know that little statement someone has made very aptly, says 7 days without, 1 week without Christ makes 1 week, something like that. 1 week, 7 days without Christ makes 1 week. It's just, you know, you need Christ. You need to be fed in your soul. You need to feed upon that blessed one. You need to read the Word of God. Not only read it, but search it. It says some meat. We need the meat that presents Christ, not only as our Savior, but as that one who is a faithful, loving companion all the way through life's path, life's journey, and the one who has a heavenly course for us as we walk through this scene. He desires to form us into His own image. God is working with you and I, everyone,
to form us into the image of His well-beloved Son. And it's a good cheer to us as we pick up the Word of God and we read it. Do you read the Word of God? Do you study it? Do you search it? You know, there was a man in Parry Sound. His name is Andy Cantor. He's about 80 years old. And he was born with 7% vision in his eyes. So it's like taking your hand and putting it right up to your face like this and just trying to look between the cracks in your fingers. That's all he could see. And he could, when he reads his Bible, he would put his face right to the Bible and just read one word at a time. That's all. That's how he could read it. And he loved to read that word. But one day, you know, it got black, it got dark, the light went out. He lost 7% of his vision. He lost it all. He didn't have anything. He couldn't see anything. It was black. He cried to the Lord for help. And he went to see a doctor about it to see if it could be operated on to give him a little bit of relief. And he went. Doctor said, "I can't help you at all." Then someone said, "You know, there's one more doctor I want to tell you about. Dr. Nixon. Go see Dr. Nixon. And he might be able to do something for you." Well, Andy Cantor went to see Dr. Nixon. And he operated on one eye. And when the bandages came off, Mr. Cantor, they asked him whether he could see. He said, "Yes, I see. I can see." And then when he got home that day, Mr. Hamer and he talked on the phone. And he said, Mr. Hamer said, "Andy, what do you see?" He said, "Oh, I see my wife. Oh, she's so lovely. 80 years old." He said, "I haven't seen my wife before. I see her. She's lovely. I see the trees outside. I see the grass. I see. But I only got one eye, but I see. I thank God for that eye." You have eyes. You have the ability to read. You have God-given gifts in this way. Oh, what a wonderful privilege it would be. What peace of heart it would give you. What good cheer it would be to your heart tonight if you would begin to read the Word of God. If you would begin to study the Word of God. If you would begin to search out the treasures that are written in the Word of God that present Christ to our souls. I just want to ask you once more tonight. Have you personally ever heard those words, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee"? Well, if you haven't heard those words tonight, if you haven't heard those words ever from the voice, from the lips of the Lord Jesus, get into the presence of God right now. As we sing this little hymn together, get into the presence of God and bow the knee. Receive the Lord Jesus as Savior. Number 5 on our hymn sheet. Someone start it, please.
That fix my choice for divine.
And our Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee for those blessed words that were spoken from Thy very lips, Lord Jesus. Be of good cheer. In this world we shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Oh, we thank Thee, blessed Lord Jesus, that Thou didst go all the way to the cross. And there, in those long 3 dark hours, bear the penalty for the sins of all who would receive Thee as Savior. To the glory of God, for our eternal blessing, Thou couldst say, blessed Lord Jesus, it is finished. And so we just pray and ask Thee, our God, this evening, that if there's one boy or girl, or an older one tonight, sitting in the seat, never received the Lord Jesus, not living with the cheerfulness of what it is to know and love that blessed one, we ask Thee that Thou wouldst work, continue by Thy Spirit to work and exercise them in their consciences as to their sinful condition before Thee, that they might accept Christ as Savior. Oh, we just ask Thee, our God, plead with Thee that Thou wouldst arrest them where they are. And we ask it to commend ourselves to Thee now for the remainder of the evening in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.